Welcome to Lead Time Chats, where you can listen in on unscripted conversations between leaders in tech to help you make remote teamwork a little bit less challenging. I'm Jean, and I'll be your host. Lead Time Chats is brought to you by Range. Range helps remote teams work better together with asynchronous check-ins, integrated team building, fewer and more effective meetings, and easy goal tracking. When you run your team with Range, you'll always know what's going on without having to be in back-to-back meetings. To learn more about Range, you can check it out at range.co. Hi, Fred. Welcome to Lead Time Chats.
Hello, Jean. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So today we're going to be talking about setting up a globally distributed team for success. And Fred, I know you're the co-founder of Platform SH, where the team has been globally distributed for many years now, about the almost the entire duration of the company. Maybe to start, could you just tell me a little bit about your team setup? Like, where are people located?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think distributed teams are a big trend today after COVID. It became the norm, pretty much. What's special about us is we started way earlier, back in 2015, when we created the company in the first place. We very quickly realized that this would be the best setup for the company and for the team. And you fast forward from 2015, now it's 350 of us, more or less. And the team operates from 38 different countries and from 250 cities. So wow. The default setup for the team really is working from home. We still have a small office space in Paris, France, where the company is headquartered. And some team members go to shared office spaces, but most of the time it's really the default is working from home. And we tend to recruit people without too much of a geographic bias, in the sense that we can actually just take talents where they are. I would say overall, but we'll get into more details, I guess, in this conversation, Jean, but yeah, pretty much we're agnostic in terms of geographies.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that it has become the default, but I think a lot of times when people say fully remote, they often mean like fully remote in this narrow set of time zones, like currently Range is remote US, right? And so that's like three time zones. Or I had another lead time chat with the folks at Linear who are like remote US and then Europe. And so they have two buckets of time zones and then they try not to hire outside of that. So I think it is unique that Platform SH is like really agnostic of where anyone is located in their hiring.
You're right. We push that to another layer, more level. But yeah, it's a reason for that is we really are a global business and we've got customers in 40 plus countries. And it's to serve them, it makes sense to have people across the world. Actually, when I say we're geographic agnostic, it's not exactly true or at least true for every team. If we want to double click on that for a second, we are not a geographic agnostic for salespeople or for customer people. For that, we actually are specific on the geographies where we recruit. And we're also trying to stick now to a two time zones max sort of policy for our product and engineering teams.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, two time zones, that's completely manageable. It requires discipline, it requires a specific setup, but three time zones is completely unmanageable and you burn people. So this is really difficult when you have three time zones to manage and calls to actually do with people from. So which means basically early in the morning and late at night, it doesn't work long term. So we're trying to stay away from that. While one of the reasons why we actually are interested in three time zones today is we've got, so I need to tell you a little bit of what we do so it makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So what Platform SH does is we're a platform for developers. We help them build and run and scale their digital applications, or websites, web apps in general, whether that's customer facing or not. And we help them do that for, we're quite technology agnostic. Kind of like things like Drupal or WordPress that you can run on Platform SH, also more bespoke, and we also support Python and Node, and so more that sort of languages as well. And we have customers, as I said, across the globe, but you know, do everything around really managing the cloud infrastructure for them. Our promise to them is zero time managing the infrastructure. So basically, in other way, you don't need DevOps if you're using Platform SH, because everything DevOps do is automated on the platform, from the first lines of code to applications out there. It's scaling, it's growing fast. And so part of what we do is we run production for our customers, right? We have their production sites, right? And so that requires to be managing customers and being super reactive. And that was one of the motivation into doing a three time zone approach which is there's always somebody that is out there, office time, wake up anybody, because a half awake engineer is not as performing as
half awake engineers putting out production fires for other companies is sounds like not a good combination.
That's not a good idea. Sometimes you have to do that, but you know, if you can avoid and have people at office hour, this is better. And so we've got this 24/7, like follow the sun approach on support, and support for us is a big deal. We've got 50 people on a team of 350. We get at least 50 people in support, just managing customers and responding to tickets, and not just being reactive to requests from customers. And so that team works at office hours all the time, and it just rotates. And this is actually a very smooth process. This works pretty well for us, and it scales well. So that was one of the motivation of being three time zones. For smaller teams, we're trying to stick to two time zones.
When you say two time zones, do you mean like, for instance, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's for instance, US and Europe, right?
Okay, so two kind of buckets.
Exactly. Okay. What we do is we have initiatives in our product organization. We work with what we call initiatives. An initiative is a theme. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, at Platform SH, we have observability is one initiative. And then what we call core, which is really the thing that close to the foundation, to the Linux kernel, that's the core team. And we've got another initiative, which is all the integrations. And those teams, we're trying to stick them to two time zones. Sometimes we have exceptions, but we're trying to stick them to two time zones, so it's actually easier for them to manage.
Got it. So you would have, you could have one product and engineering team that's US and Asia, but you wouldn't have, or US and Europe, but not US, Europe, and Asia, because then it would just be hard to
Again, sometimes we have exceptions, but we're trying to stick to that two time zones max rule today. And that is true also for marketing and for a lot of functions like finance. Also, we're trying to stick to two time zones for most of the teams, so it remains manageable.
And you know, mentioned,
just to finish up on that, everybody's playing the game in the sense that if you work in Europe and you work with a US counterpart, then you probably will adjust your hours to slightly later in the day, while US would actually wake up earlier. And so there's a bigger time to synchronize and to have conversations, and then everybody's actually working asynchronous.
But yeah,
that's that time frame where both teams are up and able to communicate. This is what we're trying to optimize for.
Right. I want to talk more about that, but I guess really quickly, you mentioned it depends on the function. So sales, you do hire to specific, is it specific, like the people need to go into the office, or what's the difference between the functions?
No, they just need to be on the time zone where the customers operate.
Got it. Okay. So if you're hiring a salesperson for this area, they need to be.
Yeah. So for instance, if you're recruiting somebody in sales for Germany, you want that person to be in Germany. I mean, it was not necessarily obvious. You know, at some point we had a little bit more flexibility. It just creates friction for no reason. And same for customer success or pre-sales. We're trying to affect them to a region because, you know, cultural gaps are smaller, or there's no culture. I mean, it's good to have Germans talk to Germans. It's good to have US people talk to US people. It just makes things easier. And we're trying to stick to that rule for the go-to-market team. That's what makes most sense.
Yeah, even though you are hiring and building a globally distributed team, it seems like there is a lot of intentionality and guardrails in terms of how to, you know, how to build the teams, how to optimize for synchronous time on teams. Even so, with across like two time zone buckets, I imagine you have maybe at most a few hours of synchronous time. So you have to be really intentional about how to spend it. Do you have any, as a team, do you have any guidelines on like, what do you spend that synchronous time for versus moving to async tools?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. We're trying to optimize for that asynchronous versus synchronous time. Just get the right balance between the two. And what really helps is make sure that synchronous time is used to just communicate, troubleshoot, coordinate, make sure that people are in line with targets and objectives. So this is a time where people want to talk. And a lot of time it's via Zoom and video calls. We use Google Meet, you know, same way. But so yeah, I think that time is really reserved for that sort of interactions. We do a lot of stand-up meetings, things like that. They have there's a lot of flexibility on how they want to do that. But yes, it's time for synchronous time. Now we're also trying to make things as asynchronous as possible. I start with, for instance, recording meetings when for people that cannot attend. That's a great practice. We encourage that a lot. For instance, as well, the way people use Slack is very vastly used in Platform SH. It's actually also quite well integrated with everything else, with our Zendesk, with our GitLab, with all the things that we need. It's well integrated within Slack. So Slack is kind of the UI of the company somehow. And we also have clear good practices on how to use Slack. One simple example, you don't go to Slack and say hi and wait. Just not the right place, not the right way to do it. You have a question, you say hi, then you ask your question, and then you hit enter, and this answer may come within minutes, it may come within hours, it's okay. You don't expect it to just be...
There's no expectation of it being a real-time chat.
Nope, not at all, zero. And that's super important, and that's not how all organizations use Slack. I think this is the best way to Slack efficiently. It's not a chat service, it's really... good for asynchronous and for conversations. And sometimes you're live and that's fine, but you know, it's important to set the mindset of people and actually to train them. People that we onboard, we train them on how to use the tools. And it's an important part of the training.
Mm-hmm. Are there other async tools that are important to your team processes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we have a block system. I'm not sure exactly what technology it is. It's actually, we call it async internally. And that might be the name of the software, I'm not even sure, I have to say. It's a block system, so we can communicate on themes and decide which distribution list it goes to. It's available for everybody. And this is actually better if we want to keep something for the as part of the structure. Also, we, of course, have playbooks, and we're trying to be managing knowledge in a way that is accessible for everybody, that highlights the right things for people who need them. And it's also part of the onboarding to explain to people what they've got access to, what is their go-to place for whatever question they may have. And so we try and be elaborate on that. One of the big things of being a distributed company is you absolutely have to have the written skills in place because you're going to write a lot, right? So oral communication doesn't fail. And so everything has to be written somewhere. And that somewhere needs to be accessible, available, and well understood and well known by the rest of the team. So it's one of those things that you really want to nail down when building a distributed company very early on.
I think one of the things that people have been struggling with the last few years, it seems like as people switched to remote at the beginning of the pandemic, by now people have kind of figured out roughly, I mean, at different degrees of success, I'd say, but like how to like their team processes, like the internal team processes, say like 12 people or something, how to work together as a team. But I think a lot of the kind of inter-team or the kind of like company identity, I think is something that people struggle with because you imagine one team is US, Europe, another team is Europe, Asia, right? Like those Asia and US people are never going to maybe be in the same meetings, or they're like the way they have oriented their work and life is just like not overlapping. So I guess what are some ways you found to be successful in like creating that Platform SH identity and cohesion?
Yeah, I think it's very hard to create without having physical interactions. So team meetings are really a necessary complement to anything you can do online. And there's a ton you can do online. You can build a relationship online, you can create trust, you can work really nicely and efficiently with other people online. But I think physical meetups are really necessary from time to time. Just also because some team members can feel very lonely sometimes. You don't get to the office, you don't get the social excitement, and some love it. Some more introvert people would absolutely trade nothing against being able to work from home and be really focused, and this has a lot of pros, but it's not the case for everybody. And so you want to find the right balance as well on how frequently you meet as a team. And we're doing that. We've planned on our budget, every manager has the ability to actually gather his or her team at least 2 times a year. Plus we've got a all hands with all employees that we want to actually resume, because we used to do that before the pandemic. And the pandemic, you know, just broke everything. But after the pandemic, we are going to go back to that 1 week where we gather the entire team. We also do sales kickoff twice a year. I mean, we're trying to get the teams together. We also go to a lot of events. We do a lot of tech events. Mm. And when we do that, we try and gather a team around those events, so you get opportunities to actually see each other. So it's interesting because it's a pretty important T&E budget for us. The travel and expense budgets for us. Pretty high. And sometimes people think, okay, great, I'm going to do a remote company. I'll save a lot of money on buildings and offices. And in fact, yes, you do.
Well, flights are very expensive right now.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. You want to make sure that you can actually do that in a reasonable, responsible manner as well, because flights are just crazy for carbon footprint and stuff like that. So we're trying to recognize on that too. It can't be open bar, right? So we have to be smart and achieve on how to do that properly, responsibly, which is no small task, no easy task.
Yeah. So it seems like at scale, each employee is looking, I mean, say like an IC on a team is probably looking at three work trips a year. And I imagine like
pretty much
directors or people who are kind of having to do with a few teams, maybe traveling much more often.
Four or five times. Yeah. I don't think many people do travel more than 4 or 5 times a year. Maybe a couple of people in sales, RSVP sales definitely does, because that includes meeting big customers and that includes special events. And so there's no way around. I mean, that's the cost of running a company, but that's actually limited to just a few individuals, I would say.
Yeah. That seems to be, so at the beginning or a few years ago, maybe a year or so ago, I had a chat with Bo Liebens from Automattic, who's also been very globally distributed for a while. And it's very similar, like annual all hands meetup and then team meetups. And like, it seems like this is just for all the teams that have been globally distributed for years now, this is just the best practice that people have landed on.
And to be completely bold and transparent, you know, if we don't do that, we'll see attrition go up. People are less engaged. I think the benefit we're seeing in getting people together is this is more real. I mean, just this is more human. This plays into the how you perceive the company, the soul of the company. And without that, people see there's less engagement, quite frankly. And so if you're trying, and sometimes you have to do that, but if you're trying to put an ROI on that, the best way to look at it, how much can you decrease attrition and increase engagement through those meetings? And so, and I can tell you this, it's really significant. So
Range is still quite small, but we're having our first offsite in quite a long time next month. Yeah. And so I feel like I know my coworkers pretty well, even the ones I haven't met in person, but I'm sure after we hang out, it'll feel different.
Different vibes. It's so much better for the chit chat and I mean, Zoom is not a good place to actually chit chat. And
it's
just like too much of it today, every day. And you don't feel like you're going to spend, going out for a drink or coffee or lunch or this is different vibes, different. And you open up in a way that you couldn't do so well on online. So
Absolutely.
Difference.
Well, I think you've spoken to this a little bit, but when people hear that a company is fully remote and globally distributed, they think, oh, I can just work whenever I want, right? It feels like it's just like full on flexibility, do your work whenever you want. But it sounds like that's not quite the reality. And there are parts that are very flexible and there are parts that are quite inflexible. Maybe you could speak a little bit to that.
Yeah. No, I think the part which is inflexible is obviously the synchronous part of the day, where you can't get around the time zone constraint. And so that's when you need to be available for the team, whether you're a contributor or you're a manager. This is the time where, you know, you spend time with the team and it's several hours in a day, but for the rest, then things are flexible. If you get a dentist appointment, it's not a problem at all. And very few things are a problem actually. If you want to work at night or work in the morning, it doesn't change anything for the company as long as the work is done. I think what we're expecting from our team members is show up when there's meetings on time, report on your work and be specific on what you're doing and be reactive when you're blocked, let your manager know. And if you need help, just raise your hand. And I think it's being communicative is requested, and just be proactive as well. Show up on Slack, just talk to people. Just being transparent is not a good thing for anybody. And you wanna be out there. And sometimes if you can help. We have one of the value of Platform SH is we care for each other. And it can sound a little cheesy. It really is important for us to say, okay, if your team is about supporting your colleagues and supporting your coworkers, and so we couldn't find a better way to actually phrase it than caring for each other in the sense of being supportive, showing solidarity when there's I don't know, something happening with a customer that needs people to be reactive or people at a loss. You're just like being out there and trying to be helpful is something we expect as well. So it's not formalized in a way, but very appreciated when people actually just spend some time just helping coworkers, figuring out problems, suggesting ideas. We love it and we reward it in a way as well.
Yeah, I think it's, you mentioned it, it could sound cheesy, but I think it's one of those things that you, if your whole team was in an office together, you might get that, like, it might just be a little bit more natural if people would help each other. But I think when people are isolated in their homes, right, the, it becomes a, like a larger, like a steeper, I guess, or a higher barrier to be like, to ask for help and to give help. And so just having it be really clear that is the expectation, I think, can help people get over that hump.
Sorry. Yeah, no, absolutely. 100% agree.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Fred. I think this will be, yeah, useful for folks who are maybe already working distributed or maybe thinking about adding more time zones and thinking about how to structure their teams in that way, or yeah, or maybe thinking about hiring their first person that's not maybe in the same time zone area.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks very much, Jean, for taking the time to talk to me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for listening to Lead Time Chats. I'd love to hear your thoughts or feedback on the episode, so feel free to email me at jean@range.co. And if you're interested in trying out Range with your team, we'd love to offer you 2 months free. Just go to range.co and use promo code LeadTimeChats. Thanks again, and see you next time.